so too clear.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Wednesday in beautiful Brevard County, Florida, and we are thankful that you have tuned into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE. And this is it, folks. You can kiss June goodbye after today. This is June the 30th, and we want to say thank you to the people at Wyrick Air. If you are not aware, June had some serious, intense, hot days. It was hot. My wife and I went away and came back, and it must be, we assume that it was our fault that we came back and it was hot. We must have brought it back in our suitcases with us. And one thing that you need when it's hot is air conditioning. And one thing that air conditioners don't like is excessive heat. And so if yours has had capacitor issues, or you've burned some wires, or you've had some Freon leaks, or your compressor went out, or you've had a fan motor that quit working, whatever it might be, I want to tell you about the folks at Wyrick Air today. They are based in Rockledge, Florida, where they have been providing professional sales, services, and repairs for in the air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields for over 40 years. They work in residential and commercial settings and provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So when you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call, 321-632-9538. That phone number again is 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. So they do a great, great job, and we don't want you endangering yourself just because it's hot outside. We know what that is like. When we first came to the church, parts of the facility would be 120 degrees in the summertime, and we made it till July, and my wife said, it's time for an air conditioner. And like a good husband, I said, yes, ma'am. And we went and we found the biggest air conditioner that we could afford at that point in time. And, we don't want you experiencing unnecessary heartache. Give them a call, 321-632-9538. Today we're going to move over a couple of chapters from where we've been to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. We've been in Isaiah chapter 30 or 28. And today, as we go through this passage, I want to describe there's about three different contexts here in this passage, in this chapter, that we want to look at. The first one is we're going to look at some of the behavior of the people that God finds to be an injustice. Then we are going to look at the reactions of the people that they went to for help, the viewpoint that they had of them. And then we are going to look at what God has to say about the situation. So, since we are talking about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us, and part of seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness is to seek justice, verse number 18 of Isaiah 30 says this: therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. So I could fixate on that little microcosm of this chapter. I could fixate on that verse. But I want you to see the environment of the rest of the chapter so that you can see what the children of Israel were like and how God wanted to treat them. So I want to begin in verse number 30. We're gonna go through here and describe about 15 different characteristics that the children of Israel had, and yet God still says that he would wait that he may be gracious to them. Okay? God is a long-suffering God. Patience is not injustice. Let me say that again. Patience is not injustice. It's compassion. And so I want to encourage you to be patient people. So let me read the first couple of verses, and then we'll skip down and go through this. It says, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, and who devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt." Drop down to verse number 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, "Do not see," and to the prophets, "Do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise the word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you. And we're going to stop right there. So the first characteristic of God's chosen people that he lavished his love upon was that they were rebellious. Rebellious is not a quality to be encouraged. Rebelliousness is a spiritual problem. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Especially when you are rebelling against God, it is behavior that was exemplified by Satan when he rose up and tried to overthrow God. It's not godly behavior. It's not something to be emulated. It's not something to be respected or glorified or anything like that. And I will tell you, whenever I see on television or movies or any place else that rebellion is held up as a model, I take the power button and I hit off. It's just like, you know, we just came through Father's Day here a couple of weeks ago, and everybody likes to make fun of fathers. But I want you to know, fathers are pretty important in society. And so I don't like to do anything that undermines the role of mother or the role of father. I don't want to do anything that glorifies rebellion. You know, I through the years, I've been a great advocate for supporting people who are doing their jobs to make society what it is supposed to be biblically. We cannot be people who rebel against God or rebel against the Word of God. No matter how popular it becomes on a social level, don't partake in it. It doesn't lead to blessing. It leads to woe and lamentation. The second attribute that I want to mention to you is this: who take counsel, but not of me. Not all advice is equal. Rehoboam was a king, and he consulted the elders that had served his father, and then he consulted his peers, and their advice conflicted, and so he went with the advice of his peers, and it was disastrous for him and his kingdom. Well, the first person that we need to take counsel of is God. The problem is that many people want to have God tell them that what they have in mind is the right thing to do. Jeremiah had a group of people, and they said, "We've come to you. We want to hear what God has to say. Do we go down to Egypt or do we stay here?" And Jeremiah said, "You made a mistake. You came to me and you asked me what to do, and we both know you're not going to do whatever it is that God tells you to do." Okay? They had a reputation of rebellion. And they said, "No, that's not true. That's not true. We really want to hear what God has to say. And so whatever God has to say, that's what we're going to do." Jeremiah goes and prays and comes back and says, "God says to stay here. Don't go down to Egypt. Going down to Egypt is exactly the wrong thing to do. You don't want to do it. Wherever you go in Egypt, that the king of Babylon's going to come. He's going to set up his throne right over that particular spot." They said, "Liar, you are not telling us the truth. You just want us to stay so to be destroyed." And they didn't do what God had told them to do through the prophet Jeremiah. And everything that Jeremiah said was true, and it came to pass. The best advice that I can give you is follow God's counsel. Know what his word says. Know what his word says, and then do it. No matter how unpopular or how catastrophic the consequences may be, the reward for doing what God has told you to do will always be better in the long run than rebellion. So I had a friend that posted a story here a couple of weeks ago. It was a story I'd heard before of a couple that went to the mission field a long time ago. It was two couples. One of the couples had a baby. One of the couples decided, "You know what, this is too hard. We're going to go back and we're going to leave." They weren't received well. They ended up only leading one young man to Jesus. The other couple that stayed and watched over this baby, the wife died, and the husband said, that's all I've got. He got mad at God, went back and lived a horrible life. After that, gave away his daughter to be raised by somebody else. They changed her name, and she ended up being a part of an Assembly of God church, Assembly of God College, where she had met somebody, got married. Somebody came and from the country that these people had been serving on the mission field. And the guy that spoke that day was the young boy that her mother had led to the Lord. And he had gotten saved, and everybody in the village had gotten saved. And yet the father thought that the counsel that he had, the example following God, that had not been worth it at all. And so the speaker said, "I'm the little boy. I'm the little boy. Your parents are revered. Your mother is revered and honored in our country." She went there, and the people were so grateful, and she got an opportunity to go and find her father and lead him back to the Lord after all those years of living under the deception, the disappointment that following God would somehow be detrimental. I want you to know it is not detrimental. No matter what happens, serving God with all your heart, walking in obedience to his counsel will always be worth it in the end. So the first two characteristics, they were rebellious and they take counsel, but not of me. They don't want to hear what I have to say. They devise plans, but not by my spirit. In other words, not only do they ask counsel, but they plan, they orchestrate their life, but there is no spiritual input. There's the Spirit of God isn't allowed to speak into that situation. So I wonder, this is just me, you know, pondering out loud here. I wonder how many of our services on Sundays would have that description, that we devise our service plans, but not by the Spirit of God. So I want you to know at Merit Assembly of God, we consider the church God's house, not my house, not my church, it's God's church. I serve there, but he's the center of attraction. He's the focal point, and whatever God has planned is what we want to do. And so we don't have everything micromanaged down to the second. We want to leave opportunities for people to worship God and to have an encounter with God. So those were the first three characteristics. You could go on and say they add sin to sin. In other words, the last sin that they committed wasn't the final one. It was just the prerequisite. It just preempted the next one. They just looked to go from one sin to another sin to another sin. They wanted to miss the mark repeatedly and often. The next one, it says, and they have not asked my advice. So we've kind of touched on that already. The next one says, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. To strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. There's only one problem with strengthening yourself in the strength of Pharaoh, and that is Pharaoh has limited finances, so if you're going to him for his financial strength, it's finite financial strength. If you're going to him for his military might, he has limited military capabilities, and so you're going to find limited strength coming from his limited military capabilities. But when you come to God, God is omnipotent spiritually. He is omnipotent financially. He is omnipotent strategically. He is omnipotent relationally. He is omnipotent in every sphere of influence. And yet these people of God were trying to go to just another element of creation to find strength from that part of creation, instead of going to an omnipotent God and allowing him to strengthen them with his strength and with his might. Verse number 5, again, emphasizes that they are rebellious people. The next one is that they are lying children. They are people who do not speak the truth. They do not speak the truth. It causes my brain to hurt when I listen to politicians who forget that we are in the 21st century, that we have audio and video of everything that they've ever said, and they flip-flop on issues according to however the wind is blowing at a given point in time. If they're in the majority, if they're in the minority, if something that they said is popular and now it's unpopular, it causes my head to strain because they get up there and speak with such persuasion, and you know that they are not telling the truth. Okay? You have to understand this about lying, that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. All liars. So when our kids were growing up, They were, you know, their parents were not perfect, but their parents' kids weren't perfect either. And so the number one thing that would get them in trouble, serious trouble, was not telling the truth. Not telling the truth. And I wish I could say that we had the spiritual discernment to catch every time that it happened. Unfortunately, that was not the case. But God knows the truth. And so we wanted to teach them, look, God does not want you talking like the devil. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He speaks the truth in love. He always speaks the truth. So we don't want to speak like the devil. We want to speak like ambassadors for God. So don't make lying part of your vocabulary. Do not make it part of your behavior. When people see you, may they know that you are speaking the truth. So whenever you are in a position of authority, surround yourself with people who tell the truth. If you find that you have surrounded yourself with a person who does not tell the truth, remove that person from your sphere of influence until God has delivered them and forgiven them of deception. Don't know if I'm going to get all the way through this extensive list or not. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of God. So they do not want to hear the word of God. Let me say that again. They do not want to hear the word of God. And so they will do things like remove the word of God from classrooms. Remove the word of God from any sort of influence. Okay? Here's the thing. You cannot be a liar and then say that you value the truth. Okay? So they want to suppress anyone who might counter their narrative or suppress the deception that they are trying to portray. You and I, we need to realize our great need to hear what God has to say. It is a deception of the enemy that leads people to believe that we do not need to hear what God has to say. We do. He's God. We need him speaking on our behalf. We need him speaking to us so that we can become the best that we could be. Verse number 10 say, who say to seers, do not see. Close your eyes. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see. Okay? So these are people who are rebelling, who are lying, who do not want people listening to any other authority other than themselves, and they don't want people seeing, opening their eyes so that they could see things that would cause them to know that the things that they're being told are not true. So, you know, at one point in time in history, society did not want people to have the word of God in a language that they could read and understand. They would say, oh, the Bible is much too hard for you to understand. You need someone to interpret for you. Well, a lot of times those people who were making those interpretations were not making godly interpretations. And so I don't know about you, but I go to the word of God, and when I see what God's word has to say, then I modify my behavior to conform to the word of God. There are people who say, nothing to see here. The Bible is not relevant for today, and so don't look into it, because we will tell you that this is okay, even though the Bible says that it's not okay. The Bible says that woe to those who call good evil and to call evil good. So they say, there's nothing to see here, and do not prophesy to us right things. Remember that a prophet's primary responsibility is to summon people back into relationship with God. Now, what I want you to see as we're looking at these characteristics are the things that we see taking place and transpiring in our right now society are not new. They're just a repetition of things that have taken place countless times before. When I taught church history, I reminded people of this quote that the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn anything from history. And you know what history says? There's people who are all the time trying to quiet voices of truth so that they can lead people down what my parents' generation would call the primrose path. They're trying to go down this. I was working some at my mother-in-law's house, and I was doing a lot of outside work, clearing away brush, and I said, "Now I tell you what, that thorn bush there reminds me of a rose bush that gave me a bloody necklace when I was a teenager running across from my parents' house to my grandparents' house. Just this thorn bush just reached out and grabbed my neck. It was pitch black outside. I didn't see it. And I tell you what I did the next day. I took care of that thorn to where it wouldn't reach out and grab me anymore. I didn't want to repeat that. I tell you what, prophets are not called to prophesy politically correct things. I'm not here to tell you things that you can hear every other place in society. I'm here to declare, thus says the Lord. And when God speaks, you can rest assured it is true. People can argue about it all day long. I tell people that if you have a problem with something that I say from the Word of God, you don't have a problem with me. You've got a problem with the Word of God, and you have a problem, therefore, with God. This radio program is called Refresh. I pray that it is refreshing and that it calls you out of darkness, out of bondage, into light and into liberty and life. That's what I hope that you will get out of the Refresh radio program. We'll resume this tomorrow. Until then, you have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio
Thank you
program.
For tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."